Hey, hey, friends. Welcome to the Happy Mom Show. I'm Ryan Watkin, success mentor, happiness expert, former corporate 9-to-5er turned stay-at-home mama and business owner, and professional speaker on a mission to spread positive impact. Here, we'll dive into topics like parenthood, emotional intelligence, mindfulness, self-awareness, fiercely pursuing self-care, like real self-care, and uncovering the source of our happiness so that we can unapologetically live and thrive successfully and with joy. I believe that family life is one of the biggest catalysts for growth, and that with some honest reflection and grace, we can evolve into the positive, mindful role models we need to be for our next generation. Each week, I'll share an inspiring interview or topic that will motivate you to transform your story from the inside out, friends. We don't pretend that happiness is all butterflies and rainbows around here. We know that happiness is our daily devotion to discovering our joy in the mess. Are you ready to discover yours? Let's dive in. Welcome back to the show, y'all. Today, I am joined by Jill Pavich. She is the founder and chief creative officer of Ed Pioneer Consulting, LLC. She's a teacher, mentor, author, wife, and mama of two adorable babes. Jill began her business after spending 12 years in the high school English language arts classroom. She now creates digital courses for teachers like herself who are always on the move to keep things fresh in teaching and learning. Her signature course, Make Writing Real, challenges educators to level up their instruction by cultivating the kind of skills our students actually need to communicate effectively in a 21st century society today and to become the innovative leaders of tomorrow. And it's with that amazing introduction and bio that I am welcoming Jill. Hi.
Hi, how are you, Ryan?
I'm good. How are you?
Oh, I'm excited to be here.
I'm so excited that you're here. It was like really fun to reconnect in paradise with you. We chatted for so long and we were like, we had so many similarities. Like, it was amazing. Like, we're kind of doing really similar things. So I'm really happy that you're here and that we get to chat it up about mamahood and education and entrepreneurship and all the things.
Yes, that was definitely cool to find somebody that's in the same space as me now, because it's like this crazy different world, right? So we were in paradise, which is like we're on The Bachelorette or something, but.
I know, we were down in the Keys, just like overlooking the ocean and the intercoastal at, my sister-in-law's home. And she was having a little birthday party. So yeah, we were in paradise and it was just like lovely to catch up and to talk shop and to talk about being moms and just like, you know, juggling and stuff. So yeah, I feel like a lot of people, a lot of people don't understand kind of what we're doing as moms and entrepreneurs, because it's like not the norm. We've kind of taken like an alternative route. Like, we saw the fork in the road and we were like, let's make our own path, like over here. And so people are like, what do you guys do again? So it's refreshing for sure to have like that conversation.
100%. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So I don't know if you remember this, but like years ago, I was thinking about getting into teaching and I went to Boca High and I sat in on one of your classes.
You know, it's so funny when you say that, because I was like, I swear Ryan was teaching. I know you were tutoring at one point, but I was like, I swear that you were teaching or you were getting ready to teach. So you did sit in on one of my classes. That's so funny.
Yes. And I think you were pregnant with Willow.
Probably.
Yeah. And I was like, and you were like, really, like you were pregnant. And I was like, this chick is awesome. I'm like, she's like 12 months pregnant. Just like, dude, this was before I even had kids. Like up there, you were so engaging and energizing. And I'm like an English nerd like you. So maybe I'm just biased, but I was like, I want to be in this class. Like, you made it seriously super fun. And I don't remember the exact like assignment that you guys were talking about, but it was something that was really relevant. And like,
interesting. I was like, this is a cool class. So I always remember that about you.
Thank you so much. Yeah, teaching is, it's definitely what I was put on God's green earth to do in some way, shape, or form. But yes, definitely have kind of taken a path that is bringing that with me, but it's a little bit of a forging of a new path too, so.
Yeah. So you, I'm like so interested because I feel like everyone has kind of like a different story for how they took the leap. So like when you were thinking like, I got to take the leap out of like the formal traditional classroom to be more in alignment with my purpose and to put this business out there that I know needs to be birthed. Like, what did that process look like for you?
Yeah, well, it was definitely on my heart for a long time. And I feel like definitely my two babies have, I'm always like pregnant when I'm doing good things, I swear. But with my daughter, you know, she was just born and I had started this blog because I was working at that time with a lot of teachers and mentoring them with a curriculum that I taught that was kind of new in the state of Florida. And so I knew that I wanted to give all my time to my baby. She was born in August and I was off work until December. I just, you know, bit the bullet and was like, I'm not coming this semester. And, you know, I wanted to be 100% present for her. But at the same time, it was like, oh, my teachers, like I need to help these people because they're coming to me with questions and they're excited. And I wanted to have some way of helping them. You know, it was important to me. And so there I was at home and I was, you know, baby, you know, burping on the left shoulder and I'm typing over here on the right and just like writing blogs for the 22 hours she slept per day, right? When they're really small. Yeah. And I loved it and the teachers loved it. And it was just like this beautiful thing as a writer that I could be writing, that I could be being a mom, that I could be present and kind of doing two things at once. And that's when the wheels started turning because I was like, I can make an impact and I can make an impact beyond my four classroom walls because I'm in all of those classrooms for those teachers where my blog was resonating. So I felt like, wow, this is amazing. And I completely just stumbled upon that. Right. And so it's just like from that starting point, that was in 2012. And I went on to teach a couple more years. My son was born in 2015. And I had a much shorter span of time with him when he was wee little. And I think that has a lot to do with the scales tipping towards, you know, the entrepreneurial world. But I was writing a course book when I was pregnant with him. And, you know, all of these things are going on. And I said, I need to step back and I need to have time with my family, too. And it just got me thinking about the blog and how I kind of had that balance and that felt good and it felt right. And I felt like I was serving my purpose professionally and I was serving my role as a mother. And so it was just very natural for me, you know?
Yeah. That's so beautiful because it's like, we don't have to choose. It doesn't we don't have to choose career over family or family over career. You know, I think what you're describing is such a beautiful, like, melding of both, like, that you're present in your purpose and you're present for, you know, the ones that you love and want to show up for. So how does, because I've been a stay-at-home mom and I've been a working mom. And I've been kind of both, like a hybrid of both at the same time. And I'm curious for you, like how you show up for your family and the people you love when you're so ignited by serving in this way that you're meant to serve.
Oh boy, it's a hard one. Yeah. It's really hard. Because even when I was in the classroom, I was 24/7. Like I was that teacher that was there on weekends with students. I was, you know, at the school by my own accord until 6 o'clock, just prepping and nerding and all of that. And I knew, like, in having kids, like that is not going to fly. And I can't leave my husband hanging like that. And, you know, but I was so passionate about it. And so it's weird because I almost kind of reset myself in stepping away from the classroom and starting my teacherpreneurial journey because I said, okay, what are the things that you want to do and what do you want to change and what's going to stay the same? And I really had that inventory of like you know, how are you as a professional and how do you need to show up as a mom? And so one of the things that I really set in stone early on, I was like, you work on your own hours. You're not punching anybody else's clock. So you need to set your hours based on your family time. And you better light a fire under your rear end when it's work time and get it done so that you don't, you're, you know, not grading papers on a Saturday or, you know, doing something that you shouldn't be when it's family time. And so it really helped me reset myself and kind of, instead of being like 80-20, work all the time and then come home, I really found more of like a 60-40 balance. I would never say 50-50 because I just don't believe in the work-life mom balance, because it's just, sometimes you're hot and sometimes you're not, but that's okay. So yeah, I think that stepping back a little bit and taking the time to just inventory myself, what do I want, you know, slowing down to that pace and to that speed to be like, what do I want? What is needed by the people around me? And how can I cater to all of that now that I'm in an entrepreneurial world where I have that control? So that was helpful.
Yeah, totally. I can so relate to that. Like, you know, people talk a lot about this elusive balancing act. And more and more recently, I'm like, okay, that's not really a thing. However, I'm like you in that I set like the priorities and like the, if I have an hour or 2 hours to do this thing, like you better believe that it has to get done. Mm-hmm. I still catch myself like, you know, in my mom mode going like, ooh, you know, what about this, you know, email or that piece of content or this person who I want to reach out to. And so I still like find myself, you know, thinking about work. And although I do want to be 100% present in each thing, and that's for me, that's just like a practice. Like how do you at this point speak to that? Like how do you maintain your presence when you're working or when you're mom in it? Like how do you stay totally present? I know you do yoga, which probably helps, but like other than that.
Yeah. I think that, you know, whenever I'm with my kids, 100% those thoughts come up like, oh, I have to schedule out this email, or I have to, you know, work on whatever it is, if it's a blog post or if I have some kind of looming deadline. I just have to remind myself, I'm like, okay, you know, shut your brain off, because if you don't shut it off now, it's just going to burn down. And when you go to do that thing, you're not going to be hyped up to do it. And so it's like, if I spend too much time analyzing and overanalyzing, it's that fatigue on the brain. I've burnt all the calories that I possibly have to even put towards that task. So when I'm tempted to, you know, just check something real quick or do some quick research, I'm like, no, shut your brain down and just enjoy. Because it's a whole different level of, you know, the way your brain's working when you're with your family and you're nurturing and all that. And so I just, when I feel the urge, I just remind myself, give the brain a rest, because otherwise you're not going to complete whatever task in the time you have if you keep frying on all cylinders all the time. So yeah. It's just a lot of reminding.
Yeah. Girlfriend, that is like such a good reminder for me, because it's like the mental capacity, like you only have so much bandwidth to like think and plan and whatever. So I am like literally taking that from you, because it's constant reminders of like, wait, you know, you only have so much time, so much energy in the day. And so
yeah. You want my hack? This is literally, because it's hard to remind yourself per se, but I set it on my phone. I have on my phone two different alarms that go off. One of which goes off at 8:08 every morning when I walk in the door. Okay. After doing the mom thing, dropping my kids off and, you know, getting my coffee, listening to some podcasts, I walk in the door and my alarm goes off, and immediately, like, I have my little sayings here, like they're quotes. That's the name of the alarm. And one of them is that, you know, you, as far as like giving up, like you can't fail if you're somebody that doesn't quit. And so I have my one quote that says, gear up for your day. I don't care how bad you want to Netflix it. I don't care how bad you want to go take a spa day. Like now's the time, your kids are in school. So like, don't give up. So I have my one quote that reminds me, It's time to get after it. And then on the weekend, I know my little pocket of time where the kids are most chill. It's like after we bounce around in the morning and do a little pool time, I'm tempted to go in my office and just, you know, knock out like a couple little things. And I have an alarm that goes off and it's just like, it's my family time quote. And it's all about my babies. And it's just my little tender words to myself that say, not today, girl. So I have two alarms that literally just kind of keep my rear end in check. And so that's my hack.
I love that so much. That's so relevant. Like, it's just, and it's so easy to do.
It's super easy. And it's like insane the micro mindset shift it creates. Cause it's like, you forget, you know how like even when a fire alarm goes off, like, you know, it's going to go off, like it's a drill or something, but you still jump. Yeah. Well, every time my phone goes off, I jump because I'm like, wait, what is that? And then I'm like, oh, it's like a new tapping on the shoulder every time it happens. It never gets old. So you always feel rejuvenated. So.
Yeah. And you're reminding yourself essentially how you want to feel. Yes. You want to feel present, loving, nurturing when you're with your babies, and you want to feel, you know, fierce and courageous and, you know, all those things when you're working on your business. So it kind of gives you that like, oh, wait a minute, that's what I wanted to feel, you know, because it's easy to slip back into those like habits and patterns that don't serve us necessarily. I love that. That's amazing.
You gotta try it.
I'm going to, literally. Like, that's when I started doing kind of like breath work a couple years ago and like really hardcore into Kundalini yoga. I started doing alarms on my phone to breathe. So my alarm would go off 6 times a day and remind me to breathe. And I would stop whatever I was doing and I would just take some deep breaths. Yep. And it was a game changer because like, you can't really be in thought when you're breathing. You're not stressed out. You're resetting your central nervous system. So essentially it was like a little mini like yoga session for me. And I'd be like, there it is. You know, like the relaxation.
100%.
So that was important for me. So your class, Make Writing Real. I'm like so excited to dive into this because I'm just, one of my core values is education. I'm so passionate about my own education, but also like my kids and educating others. It's so important to me. So when I was reading about your class, I'm like, this is amazing because it's making it fun for teachers to do, right? And then it's making it fun for the kids to learn. So like, tell us a little bit about maybe how you came up with the idea, where the need came from, and then just like kind of what you do in the class.
Okay. So basically it all stems back to that one fateful day. It was my last year teaching and it was roughly like, I think February, it was shortly after the new year had broke and we weren't quite there yet, but we were leading towards exam season. And I was sitting in a professional development meeting with the entire staff and we got our PD sheet that just tells us like what's up and coming and just different dates and deadlines. And we had 300 and some items on this agenda. I think I told you this when we chatted. And, you know, I was like looking at the 300 some items on the agenda and they were all exam dates. They were all testing dates. And I'm like highlighting the ones that pertain to my kids. And like, you know, I'm running out of highlighter because it's like there's so much coming at my students in those coming weeks. And I was it was breaking my heart. And the kids are coming into my classroom and they're just working 24/7. I mean, the culture that was built up at our school was like, it was cool to come to school on a Saturday to like do your project, your assignment, your research. And you know, a lot of parents would be like, oh, well, my kid's really struggling or they're really stressed out. And I just saw the mental health aspect of it. And I was like, this is insane. Like these kids are not getting, they're not going to homecoming because they're doing, you know, X, Y, or Z. And I'm not saying that high school should be all like parties and fun and woo-woo, but there has to be more of a social aspect, I think, than what I was seeing. And I hated it. And it just made me feel for these kids. And the more I got to thinking about my own instruction, as much of a rock star as I felt I was because I cared as a teacher, I could teach these kids how to pass an exam, how to jump through the hoops. I could grade their essays until I'm blue in the face. But at the end of the day, no employer ever is going to be like, well, son, let me have a look at all of your essays from high school. Like, no one is saying that.
Right.
No one, and for the lack of a better term, nobody gives a crap about those essays at the end of the day. And I am 100%, I'm an English teacher, I'm a nerd. Like, yeah, you got to learn how to write essays and you have to understand formal writing and writing for academic purposes. But there is so much more out there that these kids are not getting. The only medium we teach in high school is the one that's going to be on the exam. And I really was taking issue with that. And I was tired of teaching it too. I'm like, this is not all that's out there. And so as I was kind of beginning my entrepreneurial journey, I was putting to work my writing skills. And thank goodness I'm a writer and that I'm an English, you know, nerd, because it's hard to write copy and to draft emails and to, you know, drum up blog posts and do all of these different things. Even a small micro blog for social media, you know, well, like it's a craft and it's something that you have to practice and learn about and observe. And those are the skills that our digitally minded students are going to need. But we're teaching them how to write the archaic essay and only the essay. So Make Writing Real was born out of this need to reach our writers on a more authentic level and to give them the tangible skills they need to actually survive in a digital world, in an innovative era. So that's kind of, you know, I just got to thinking, like, how can you teach students to, you know, create a blog or to develop a podcast script or to create, you know, video content? And how can I align these with the Common Core standards so that it's on point and we're serving that obligation, but at the same time, giving them skills that they could literally go on to like Fiverr or Upwork and, you know, put themselves out as a freelancer because they know how to do these real skills. And those little side hustles are what pay for that expensive college. You know, I'm not saying don't go to college, but they need to have skills and to build that portfolio and figure out, you know, where they're strong at as a communicator and then leverage that when they finally get that almighty college diploma. So,
yeah. So you're like preaching to the choir because I'm like, yeah, duh, you know, and it seems like so much common sense to me of like, of course we should, you know, promote and encourage and cultivate these skills where kids can start even making money. Like you said, I love that you said that because it's like, this is the real world. You know, they're a couple years and they're adults for all intents and purposes, right? Yeah. And why not like focus on entrepreneurial endeavors for them? Like it's doable. They can start a business from their phone, like as we know, and they are even more savvy than we are. So why not give them these tools to really like cultivate something that's meaningful to them that can launch their career, you know, before it, you know, traditionally you would launch it. Like it makes so much sense. So I, you know, this is probably a huge like question to even unload, but like why in schools is that not the norm, you think? Is it because of all the testing? Is it because of like all the standards that we're having to hit?
Yeah, I've worked with a lot of schools that they teach, you know, just completely lockstep in tandem with, you know, what's going to be on the exam and things like that. And I've lived in that world. Like everything I tell you about the innovative ideas I have, they're born out of error. I lived that standardized exam path. I taught at top 20-ish schools, most challenging schools in the nation per the Washington Post. The reason we were one of the most challenging schools is because of how many assessments we plug out a year. And so there's this huge emphasis on that. And I've worked with a lot of schools where the teachers do not have the liberty to deviate from the curriculum map. And what I have to say to that is this. With Common Core is not a curriculum. And I think people, they hear Common Core and they're like, oh, that's terrible. I hate Common Core. But Common Core, it really shouldn't have the notoriety it does because Common Core is just simply a set of standards. Here's a set of skills that your students should be able to know and or do. And that's it. It's not a curriculum. So it's to my thinking with Make Writing Real, you can give me those standards and I can meet those obligations, but I should be able to select the content, or my students, better even said, they should be able to select the content in order to demonstrate mastery of those standards. So whenever a school or a district starts telling me I have to teach such and such selections, you know, that's where we start to have a problem. I love anchor texts because it gives everybody kind of a common ground. And there are certain, you know, literature selections or certain things that students should be reading about because they are important to our culture as citizens and to their global understanding, you know, as international participants. But when we pack a teacher and a student's schedule too full with these selections, it gives no room for creativity and innovation. It gives the students no space to have a voice and a choice in what they learn. So, and I have this one quote, it is just so lovely, but it's by a neuroscientist, and she says that it is literally impossible to get somebody to be interested or to take stock in learning something that they care nothing about. It is literally impossible for the brain to do that. So if our students are sitting in these classrooms and they're not passionate at all, even a tiny bit, about what they're learning, how are they even learning it? It's a waste of time. And so with Make Writing Real, like, I was just like, okay, how can I give these kids some control over what they get to study and what they get to pursue? And it's what I call the passion to purpose pivot, because, okay, what are you passionate about? First of all, ask a student that and they'll just like blink at you in fear because they don't know. They've never been asked that question. But once we drill down into that, I say to my students, okay, now you know what you love. You love cars. But how are you going to use your talents and passions to serve others? It always comes down to that service. And whether that be service in just, you know, genuine heart, or service in terms of starting a business or whatever that is, but how are you going to help other people and keep this world spinning in the proper direction? And so finding their passion with them and exploring that, aligning what they do with that passion to the standards, and then serving authentic audiences and serving a genuine purpose can be transformative for young minds that are just way more pliable and flexible and creative than ours are, right? So,
yeah. I remember in high school, my favorite things being, you know, my favorite projects or assignments were the things that I got to choose and have a little more creativity over, you know, where I had creative control, because, you know, no one wants to sit there and learn about something that they don't want to learn about. And so it's just, it does seem like such common sense. But I love that you talk about purpose and passion, because I think as parents too, this is something we can start at home, right? Because we send our kids off to school every day for, you know, 6 or 8 hours or whatever. And we're just like, fingers crossed, like hoping for the best. You know, we feel like we don't have control, so to speak. I'm going to be that parent that is going to be in my administrator's, you know, offices, and they're going to be like, oh my God, here she comes again. Like, I'm going to be that parent. And, you know, I don't know if we're going to go the public school route or like what we are deciding yet. We're like a year or two off still.
Yeah.
But I think about it in terms of like being a parent and a mentor and a guider to my kids. Guide, there could have been a better word than that. But like, you know, someone who's guiding my children in finding their passion and their purpose. And so, you know, my daughter will like, look at this thing I drew or did or whatever, Mom. Like, what do you think? And I'm like, well, what do you think? You know, like, I really am already at like at an age appropriate level trying to open their eyes to the fact that their voice is the loudest and the most important, because I feel like, you know, we send our kids to school and then the teachers will say something and they'll go, oh, really? You know, and they'll have this belief that maybe I'm not good at writing or I'm not good at math. And we carry these with us as we grow. We talked about not being good at math, right? And brought that with us like a little suitcase full of crap since we were however old. For me, it was like starting in middle school, where I was like, nope, not good at math. Like, I'm throwing in the towel, I'm giving up.
Yep.
Yeah. And so like, how do we as parents, how do you as a parent like try and cultivate that in your kids too, without like, of course, shoving it down their throat? Like, how do you kind of like introduce it in a way that they can do with what they will, you know?
Yeah. With my daughter, you know, I made the decision to put her into public school. We moved north from where we were before. And I was a gal that grew up in free and public education. A lot of my friends went to private school. My husband went to private school, actually. And we have very different and unique standpoints on school and things like that between, you know, my friends and I and my own experiences. But I was just like, you know, I really want my daughter to go to the public school here in our town. And I was amazed at how not helicoptery I was. And I don't know if it's like the reverse thing happened. I thought as a teacher, I was like, oh goodness, good luck with this woman, you know? But surprisingly enough, every day she came home from kindergarten, I would be like, honey, did you have fun today? Did you meet new friends? Were they nice to you? Were you nice to them? Like, it was everything social. I just wanted her to feel comfortable. And I asked her if her teacher was kind. And, you know, we had conversations all throughout kindergarten. I really didn't focus at all on what she was learning. I just wanted to know that she felt comfortable, that she felt safe, and that she felt accepted. Because you got a Maslow before you can, you know, do any of these blooms, right? And so I was like, if she feels this way, the learning is naturally going to come. And I don't even care if the learning is just an average learning. If she feels like she is in love with what she's learning and she feels good, that is all I can ask God, right? And so she was going through school and everything was going great. She was very happy. Now she's a second grader and I'm starting to see the nuances of her talents coming out. And it is so amazing. It's almost as amazing as watching her learn how to read. That was like magic to the high school teacher. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
So that was insane. But just like seeing her, she literally self-proclaimed, I am an artist. And I almost started crying because I'm just like, oh my gosh, like you go, girl. And then recently she was writer of the month. And I bought her this, I saw that she was loving to write stories. And I bought her this thing, it's called Illustory or something like that, where she writes her own story and then we send it off and they actually turn it into a published little book. And she is like so excited about it. So that's like those little projects we're doing at home. She is doing those in school. Like they write these little books and that's kind of where she's getting the spark. And I'm like, this is great. But with art, you know, I'm thinking to myself, like, she loves art. Like, what can I pair her regular school with? You know, we have a really cool creative studio down the way that I'm like, I will put her in this because she wants to be there. Not because I thought, oh, this will be good for her. But as I'm reading the program, she's all excited. Like, oh, I want to go do this art. Else is doing it. And I love art and I'm an artist. And I'm reading it and it's talking about how it equips them with entrepreneurial skills because they learn about creating and then marketing their art and all this stuff. And I'm like, this is amazing. Like if I can get the programs that kind of balance all of these things without overwhelming her, I'm all about that. But I don't press green on anything unless I see her naturally take a liking to something. Like when I see that proclivity, I'm like, okay, this is great. She's not going to play soccer just because my husband was a soccer star. And she's not going to dance just because mama loves to shake her booty. She is going to do these things because that's what she wants to do. So yeah. I keep her schedule sacred based on whatever comes out of her mouth, you know?
Yeah, totally. So you really let her take the lead in essence, and you kind of like take the back seat and you go, okay, I see that she's doing this. Like, let me help foster that in her. Yeah. Or I see that she's doing that, you know?
And type A right here, I never thought I would ever have the capacity to do that. But I am so like, you tell me, babe. So it's crazy how that happens. But I want her to be happy, you know? And so I'm just letting her make all those decisions with, you know, the gentle guide on the side.
Hey friends, stay with me real quick. There's a tool that I've used every single day for the last 2 years, and I want to share it with my amazing community. That's you. So head over to ryanwatkin.com/happy to download your very own interactive PDF with my 5 favorite and simple happiness habits. You know, so often we want to lean into positive transformation, but we just don't know where to start. This, my friends, is the place to start. So head on over to ryanwatkin.com. That's ryanwatkin.com/happy to grab your happiness habits now. Be sure to DM me or tag me at The Happy Mom Show on Instagram with your favorite happiness habit. I'll see you over there. Now back to the show.
So this is reminding me, I just started listening to The Awakened Family by Dr. Shefali again. I don't know if you've heard of her, but she's kind of the creator of this concept called conscious parenting. And the story that she tells in this book, The Awakened Family, is that she was sitting next to this adorable little family. It was a mom, a dad, and a 6-month-old boy. And she was on a plane and sitting next to them. And the dad was chatting about, how the mom is so great at this stage and, you know, how she's just so great with the baby. And, you know, I'm just going to wait until he's a little older and I'll play baseball with him and whatever. And Dr. Shefali said, well, what if he doesn't like baseball? And he looked at her like she had three heads.
Of course.
And he said, well, everyone in my family loves baseball. This is like passed down from generations. And, you know, he thinks he's automatically already like, my kid's a baseball player. And the kid's like still in diapers, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And for me, my husband and I, Nate and I were talking about last night, you know, we both come from golfing families. And so like, I got a set of golf clubs when I was like 10 years old for Christmas. And I'm like, golf clubs, you know, I don't remember what I actually wanted, but I'm like, really?
Yeah.
I'm glad that I know how to play golf. You know, it's a skill that has served me well. However, we're really conscious of like, you know, what are our kids going to be into? Like, what are they going to love? And I love that you kind of mentioned just letting them take the lead, you know?
Yeah. I'm sure like all of our mommies out there listening, like, I'm sure that we all have that, like, where, you know, you just want to see what they're interested in. But sometimes it's like you said, we can let our own things seep in, like, oh, I want my daughter to like yoga, so I'm going to put her in a yoga specials class or something, but it's not about us. And I'm like constantly just reminding myself that, like, I can't wait to see what my son gets into. He's 4 right now and he's just a firecracker. He's so much fun, but I'm excited to see once he's in the pre-K phase, but once he really starts to get in there, I'm excited to see. I said that, you know, I think he's going to build rocket ships, this kid, but we'll see. We all think that about our kids, right?
I know, right? It's so funny. We were at the science museum yesterday. Like, you know, we were actually building rocket ships, like out of these little blocks and stuff. And Nate and I were sitting down playing with them, which is really fun to play. But I catch myself like, thinking like, oh, wow, they're so smart, or they're so this, or they're, and those like labels that we put on them. So I really, really have to like keep myself in check. Cause it's, you know, like, who are we to judge our kids? Like, they are who they are. And it's our job to just like water the seeds.
Yeah. Yeah. My mom, literally, she said that to me the other day. She's like, you know, your children are their own special beings. Like, why would you want to raise them to be like anybody else's kid? You know, and so just like looking at it that way, like, so what that they don't want to do this or do that like these other kids do, you know, because we're always like, oh, I wish Johnny would just play with the rest of the group right now if you're at a birthday party or something. But it's like, no, like, they are their own beings. They are their own little humans. And we just have to kind of let them make decisions, you know, let them choose what they want to do to be happy and what they're enjoying in that moment, and not always try to put them in a box like everybody else's kid. Cause no, I don't want my kid to be like anybody else's kid. I want him to be him and her to be her and that be that. So,
yeah. So did your mom raise you with that kind of like freedom, so to speak? Like, did she kind of have that like philosophy growing up too?
Well, my mom is very level-headed. She's a nurse and she's super practical. And my dad is like a big kid. Like, he was, you know, just like the goofy, like my best friend. And, you know, between the two of them though, they never put any pressure on me. And so I feel like I'm able to, and there's a lot of folks that, yeah, like when you grow up in a certain circumstance, you feel like it has to be a certain way because that's how it was with your family or with your tradition or with your past. And the same thing with like school too, like with education, it's like, I'm going to teach grammar this way because that's how I was taught and I grew up just fine. But I just am trying to break free of that mold that just because it worked then doesn't mean it's going to work now or for this situation, this person's circumstance. So, you know, I'm just trying to guide my family and also just the way I view my professional career with students that, you know, what worked then isn't necessarily the answer now or for the future. So if my parents did do X, Y, or Z, it doesn't mean that I have to do it that way. Luckily, I just kind of like the way my parents took their relationship with my brother and I. So I feel like, okay, that makes sense to me, you know, that it would benefit. So I, you know, that's always a plus.
Yeah. So in an ideal world, like, you know, 20, 50, 100 years from now, like what would your just like vision of education be? Like in the perfect world, like what would that look like for you?
Oh wow. I could go on forever, right? Yeah. I think that it needs to not be separated. Like how we separate math class from reading class, from English class, from this class. I think that there needs to be more of an interdisciplinary integration. I think that in separating out those skills, it's just not realistic. And I'm all about the realness. So like if you're working on a project, you have to look at, you know, use your math skills to figure out that project. Or if you're designing something, let's say you're designing the set for a play, or you're working on designing just something to represent characters in a book, like, you know, there's a level of design and architecture and math that goes into that even. I think that when we immerse students into deep work, as opposed to skimming the surface of a bunch of different units of study, that deep work is where they learn. It's where they anchor to the information and remember it. And when they're in those projects that are not algorithmic. So like if we have our students say, what's a problem you see? And let's try to figure it out and solve it together. When it doesn't have an answer key, I think that is the most valuable learning of all, because in working through all those problems that don't have an answer and you have to make the answer, that's where you grow and where you test yourself and where you learn. So I think that if I look at education in the future, I think that it's more project-based, interdisciplinary, collaborative, and focusing on situations that are not as algorithmic as we've always taught. Like even when I assign an essay, I have an expectation of what the answer is going to be. And if I don't like that answer, then all of a sudden that student has to suffer. Like that's not realistic. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, just focusing on heuristic problems of the world, because those are the ones our students eventually have to solve for us.
Yeah. And I love how you mentioned earlier too, like how can you serve someone else?
Yeah.
So for me, one of the huge questions that I ask myself and my clients and eventually my kids when it's age appropriate is like, you know, what's a challenge that you've been through and overcome? And now how can you help someone else get through that challenge in essence? So yes. That's like taking the focus off of ourselves and helping someone else. It's good for our mental wellness. It's, you know, it lessens anxiety and depression and all of these things. So I love how it just, you know, I love how you kind of, in essence, like, how can we help other people? Like,
yeah, think of like how that fills you full too, you know, mm-hmm. that you have a greater purpose and that you have a greater impact. Like to teach our students to walk around and just worry about their own hustle and like to figure out, you know, how they're going to survive in this world. Like looking at how can you work with others to serve others? That's what fills the cup full, because you have that human connection that you've done something to make somebody else's day better. Like there is no better feeling. There's no better high than that. And so, you know, that's something that to get our kids connected with the people around them and that network, that community is going to be crucial for them moving forward, especially in the era that we live in now, you know, where everybody is connected. Their audience is global from as young as, you know, 12, 13 years old. They have access to anybody in the world, and we never had that. And so it's just like teaching them how to cultivate those relationships safely, responsibly, meaningfully is going to be crucial for them in terms of their success and their impact.
Yeah. And I love your vision. Like I love everything that you're mentioning. So I'm so curious, as parents, like how can we advocate in our kids' schools, whether, you know, it's a public school, private school, maybe some homeschooling mamas are out there. Like, how do we advocate and bring, you know, that experiential learning into our homes and our schools and our communities? Like, where can we start?
Definitely starting with like figuring out what is your child passionate about? What are they genuinely passionate about? Now, I said before, when you ask a high schooler that, not every high school, but when you ask a lot of teenagers, what are you passionate about? They're like, I don't know. Just tell me what I need to do so that I can move on to the next class. Like, who cares what I'm passionate about? Let me just get through these hoops. But, you know, as far as like really digging down to their passion, the way I like to look at it is all of our kids have heroes. They have people they look up to, whether that's somebody on social media that's a quote unquote influencer, somebody in a movie or in a magazine. And so having them look at their heroes as like a starting point and saying, okay, what is it that I admire about that person? Because chances are the people that you admire have qualities that you already have somewhere inside of you. And that's why you're aligned with that hero. That's why you look up to them, because you have traces of that being. You don't necessarily manifest them to that degree, to that level just yet. That's why they're famous, right? Or why they're well known. But there's a connection there. So starting with like looking at your children and who do they look up to, and then talking about like having those conversations and just that exploration of what your interests are. And of course, as mamas, we let them try all these things. You know, we want them to try dance and try karate and try art and whatever it is. But I just, you know, letting them ultimately make that decision, I think is really important. At least that's the angle. I just let it roll with my kids and just to see where they land, even if it's not something that I feel is going to be lucrative or worthwhile in the long term. It's crazy how those, I guess, brief or sporadic, you know, interactions with things, they lead to something else. They lead you down a path. And I just think that, you know, eventually once they put all those experiences together, all those different things that they tried, it's going to culminate into something that makes sense for the long term. Those are those little stepping stones, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, I even see that with myself, just being a teacher. I thought I'd be a teacher until I retire. I never thought about going anywhere else in the world, but it's like these little random things that are happening in my life and these people that I meet and these little trails that I duck off onto, none of them are meaningless because now I see them all culminating together into my business.
Right.
So, in retrospect,
like the path sometimes while you're on it doesn't make any sense, but then you look back and you go, oh, that's what that was for. Yep. Oh, I see. That's why I had to fail at that, or, you know, win at that. Like, and it all kind of culminates to, like I say, little by little is how we uncover our purpose, by taking like tiny actions, you know, every single day. And if we model that and emulate that for our kids, like, there's nothing more valuable in this world than for them to see us advocating for our purpose and ourselves and our passions, you know?
Yeah. And I was going to say that too, like to all my mamas out there, you know, whatever it is that you find yourself being passionate about or something that you have a proclivity for, but you're like, I don't have time for that though. I have a household to run or a job, or I have this or I have that. I just encourage you to just take that leap, just jump even just a little bit and let the universe catch you on it. Because what we do when we take these risks and when we fail forward, like I expect to fail every day or else I'm not moving, you know? And so it's like being brave. And I always say to create without fear. That's always like my mantra in my mind is like, just do it anyway, do it sloppy, do it scrappy, but just do it, because that bias toward action, that's the stuff I want to model for my kids. And in my failings, in all the things that I learn, I'll be transferring that to my children, that, you know, okay, well, if you want to try this, let me help you. And we have that experience because we were bold and we were brave. And so we know what it's like to be bold and brave and to take risks. And I most certainly want my kids to take those bold, brave risks, with the support, of course, of my husband and I. It's not like reckless abandon, right? But I want to know what it feels like though, so that I can empathize with where they are and give them the real guidance they need to keep at it and to be persistent.
Yeah. I love that you're speaking directly to the mamas too, because I've had a handful or more of mamas and women and educators and nurturers reach out to me over the past few years and like, hey, I see that you started a blog, or hey, wow, you're doing a podcast, or oh, I see you doing these things and building a business. Like, how did you do that? I kind of want to do that. And I'm like, do it. Take the leap.
Just do it.
Yes. Do it. And if there's that little inkling anywhere of like, ooh, she's doing something like that, I wish I could do that. You can. Like, you totally can, because there was a point where we were uncertain and in, you know, our careers, and we took a step back and went, okay, what else is there? You know, what, how can I follow my deeper feeling in my heart to, you know, both fulfill me and help other people too?
Yeah, for sure. Because I think too, like, we're not growing if we're not challenging ourselves. Like, when you find yourself settled into something that feels comfortable, you know, they always say like, be comfortable with getting uncomfortable or whatever, but like, truly, there's no growth without that bit of discomfort. Even if you're working out, like physically, mentally, emotionally, whatever it is, if there isn't a little bit of that discomfort, you know, that's what's creating the growth. And so sometimes if we're going to grow forward, and if we're going to, you know, get to that place that we ultimately want to be, right, we have to be a little uncomfortable with some of the decisions and say, okay, well, I'm going to take this chance and see what happens.
Yeah, I always think of like the, you know, have you ever seen those time lapse pictures of like a seed sprouting, and like the little seed, it all of a sudden cracks open and it looks broken, essentially, really. It just looks like this broken, you know, eggshell, but then like a little sprout comes up, and that's like literally what it feels like, because some of this shit does break you. Like, there is no journey like entrepreneurship and motherhood and choosing to consciously grow that will break you open in such a beautiful way. Like, and you feel broken for like a minute or maybe more than a minute, and then something beautiful grows from it, and you're like, okay. And it's that over and over and over again, you know, every day, like, we're doing something that we haven't done before, essentially.
Yeah. And too, like, even looking at it, like, am I going to bend or am I going to break? Maybe you don't even have to break. Maybe you can just bend a lot, you know, where it's, you feel like you're going to break, but what's the vitality there? Are you going to bounce back from that? And are you going to let something new, you know, step in place? So, but yeah, it's, and we're in charge of our mindset. You know, we, no matter how much junk happens around us, if we can wake up fresh the next day and say, today's going to be a great day. Like, literally, if you wake up in the morning and you say that, it's game changer. Wake up, today's going to be a great day. And it just creates this ripple effect for everything else that you do.
Amen, sister. Yeah, that's amazing. Thank you so much. I'm going to do like a couple rapid fire questions, but will you tell us how we can find you and follow you and all that good stuff?
Absolutely. So I am at www.edpioneer.com. So that's EDPIONEER. And that's my kind of like main location. All my courses are housed there, my blog, things like that. As far as social media goes, I am on Instagram at @edpioneer_consulting. I'm really terrible about the social media game, I'll admit it, but I'm revving up. I'm getting ready to be bold and brave and take risks and put myself out there. So I might not be super active on there now, but I will be. And Instagram will probably be my main location. So you can definitely find me there, and please follow me and make me feel like I'm talking to someone in the world.
Yes, please, that you're not like tapping the microphone. Like, is this thing on? Trust me.
Yeah. No, I'm getting ready to breathe the fire with the social media presence, not because I want to grow my followers and be viral, but I want to serve the people that are following me. That is my goal. I don't care if I have 10 followers. I want to get on there and really start to put out some awesome content. So you can find me on Instagram, or you can go to my website. And if you have any questions or you want to talk mama, teacherpreneur, you can email me at hi@edpioneer.com.
Awesome. And sign up for your mailing list too on edpioneer.com, right?
Yes, absolutely. 100% for my teacher mamas out there, for sure.
Awesome. I'll put that in the show notes. That way everyone can link up and find you and follow you. Okay. So let's do rapid fire real quick. So business and motherhood go together like?
Peanut butter and jelly.
Only thing anything better than a good book is?
Oh, a good green tea latte.
Ooh, yum. That sounds delicious. And then to me, happiness is?
It's a journey. It's never a destination. I'll never, ever be sitting below the Bodhi tree, just emanating radiance. I think that happiness is something that you have to constantly nurture or it goes away.
Beautiful. Thank you so much.
Yes. Thank you, Ryan, so much for having me.
Yeah. Of course.
All right. I look forward to speaking with you soon. And thank you to all my mamas out there. Keep on trucking.
Thanks so much for listening, friends. Please don't forget to hit subscribe so you can get a brand new sparkly episode in your feed every week. And if you feel moved and inspired, please take a minute to jump on, leave a review, and post a comment. That way, our community can continue to expand, grow, and change lives. Speaking of changing lives, if this episode resonated with you deeply, as I hope it did, hit share and send the love to someone who may need to hear it. Also, if you want to engage more with yours truly, head on over to Instagram and follow me at The Happy Mom Show. I will see you over there. Thank you again from the bottom of my heart for listening and interacting. I will be back next week with some more awesomeness for you. Bye for now.